Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Okay, let's talk about some sports. Let's talk about some wagering and maybe even a little sports wagering, although this isn't any of that. Were you surprised that Tony Kukoc got inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame?
No, it's well-deserved. This was a guy that changed the game, helped change the game, for that matter. Remember, you watched a lot of basketball in the 1980s.
Yep.
Those big guys didn't leave the paint, buddy.
That's true.
They didn't go too far away from the rim. And he was one of those first players that came over at 6'11". He could bring the ball up the floor. He could shoot it from three. He could direct the offense. He changed the way that the offense is played in the NBA. He was one of those first guys that came over across the pond and could be a very versatile weapon. Now, he was an amazing player in Europe, one of the best to ever play there. He was probably the second best player in 94 when Jordan was retired, maybe the fourth best player on that second Bulls dynasty. But, man, the whole enchilada, the whole picture, he's one of the best to ever play.
He's a reminder of how fortunate the Bulls were, Michael Jordan was, Phil Jackson was, to have a guy like him be your third option, right?
He was their third leading scorer, yeah, because Rodman never scored. Harper was more of a distributor and a defender. That was such a great run, too. And, you know, I'm 9 years old. Tony Kukoc already has three championships, so I only really knew formidably. I knew him as only a winner. But, yeah, he three-time NBA champ, three-time EuroLeague champ. And my favorite Kukoc story, they won the silver medal at the 92 Olympics. He goes up against the USA. It's USA-Croatia for the gold medal. And he didn't know why Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen hated his guts. At halftime, they chased him all over the court because Jerry Krause had said, this is going to be the future of the Bulls, Tony Kukoc. You don't say that when you got Michael and Scottie, man.
So then they dogged him in that game, right?
I think he only touched the ball one time in the first quarter. And I think he finished with 2 or 4 points in the gold medal game. I mean, the USA was loaded with talent, but Jordan and Scottie took that personal because they didn't want this new kid on the block.
Speaking of Tonys, do you have anything to say about the White Sox soap opera this week?
Love that transition. You're the king. I wish that La Russa would handle things behind closed doors and not out in the open. You know, look, if you don't like the 3-0 unwritten rule, if you're a manager, you don't like your players swinging at a 3-0 pitch up by a million runs, that's fine. But don't call him clueless to the reporters. And don't drag him under the bus to the media. The next day, the Twins throw behind Mercedes, and La Russa's like, yeah, I don't have a problem with it. So if I'm Yermín Mercedes now, or I'm a young player on the White Sox, not only did you throw the player under the bus one day, you didn't have his back the next day, and it just, he continues to say and do all the wrong things, and I think this team is winning in spite of him, not because of him. It's wild.
Well, I just think that the Yermín Mercedes story is also unique in that the guy spent 8 years or whatever it was in the minors. He finally gets a chance to come up. Who knows what his tenure is going to be? The fact that he's getting pitches to hit and performing at as high a level as anybody in baseball right now, I wouldn't do anything to mess with that kid's juju, you know? Just let him do what he's doing. And by the way, we talked about this yesterday with a reporter, a sports guy from the Twins station, and he agreed that the offensive thing is a 47-mile-an-hour pitch in Major League Baseball. I mean, if maybe I'll miss your 80-mile-an-hour pitch and we'll quote-unquote preserve the integrity of the game, but if you're going to throw a Little League pitch, screw it. I'm going to jack the thing.
I had a scout tell me about 10 years ago when I first started covering games in Chicago. He said, if you don't want to get run over, get off the bleeping tracks. If you're down 15-4, don't put in an infielder to pitch. It's that simple. But to your point,
go ahead.
If you're Yermín Mercedes, your job is to hit the ball out of the park and drive in runs. That's how you put food on the table at home. He's doing his job.
And there's no 10-run rule in baseball. I mean, that's essentially what they're saying is, we're up so much now, let's not try and score any more runs so the other team, so we'll win, but we're not going to win by too much. I'm sorry, I don't think the NFL has that rule. I don't know that the NBA has that rule. Hockey guys were happy to win 7-1. I don't get it. Anyway, the Sox are still a good ball club. In fact, good grief, Sam, they just keep doing stuff right.
26-16. You look over at PointsBet on the future book. They're plus 350 to win the pennant. So 100 wins 350. They're second behind the Yankees in the American League, and that's a big series coming up tomorrow. Sox and Yankees. Yankees 3-1. Sox 350 to win the World Series. White Sox 8-1. I don't hate that. Even right now, I think 100 to win 800 on this day, May 20th, is still a pretty good bet. I think they're going to be in the conversation as the season goes along. And to win the division, man, PointsBet has a minus 334. You and I talked about how it was a good bet, I think a month ago, at minus 130. 130 wins 100. Now you got to lay 334 to win 100, and that's a probability of 75% that they win the AL Central.
I don't want to. That sounds like a stupid bet, but I agree with it. I mean, I just I like the first bet you mentioned better. I like 100 to win 350, but then they got to win the pennant, right? And then they got to beat the. Maybe I'll make that bet after I see what happens this weekend.
Yeah, well, you never want to be late to the party, though, King. You never want to be there. You know, who knows if they sweep the Yankees, that leaderboard will flip, and the Sox will have the best odds and. Maybe it's 250 at that point. Okay. So you always want to get ahead of the move and ahead of the curve.
So which of those three bets do you like? Them to win the division, them to win the pennant, them to win the World Series?
Their pitching staff is so good. And Giolito, their ace, hasn't really been all that good yet. He's been ironing out some things. I think 100 to win 800 for the World Series is a great bet. And then here's the thing. If they go to the American League Championship, you've got 8-1 in your pocket. You could bet the other team. You could bet the team in the National League. You can sort of hedge and get creative. I like 8-1 for World Series. I do.
Talk to me about the Cubs. What are you noticing about them these days?
Up and down, up and down. 21-21. That is the definition of average, right, through 42 games. They continue to play really well, and then they play really poorly. So I wonder when the sell-off begins. Because even though they're 21-21, they're not out of it, but they're 3.5 back in the division and the wild card. If they're out by six games, you know, June 15th, how do you keep Chris Bryant? Well, why would you? You know, you might trade some of those, you know, guys like Wilson Contreras or I don't know if they trade Javi Baez, but they are in purgatory right now. They're not good enough to win, and they're not bad enough, you know, to get a number one or number five pick. They're in the middle, and that's the worst place to be in sports.
6-4 in their last 10 games. I thought they were better than that. I saw a statistic yesterday, something like this. I don't know if this sheds any light on the conversation, that since the middle of April, it was the 16th or the 19th, the Cubs have scored more runs than the White Sox. That's because the Cubs had some of those blowout games earlier in that run. But I don't know. Every now and then you see a little flicker of life in the Cubs and you go, maybe these guys can make a run this year. No, huh? You
don't like that? I love to look at this stat called run differential. It takes the runs scored against the runs against. And you look at the Cubbies, they've scored 193 runs. They've allowed 189. So their run differential is plus +4. That's okay. They're an average team. Compare them to the White Sox, 222 runs scored, 149 allowed. The White Sox have the best run differential in baseball, plus +73. Wow. That's a good team. Plus +4, you're average.
Odds for the name of the newest royal baby.
I knew you'd love this one. I wanted to slide this into the Rolodex this week. Now, this is not a points bet. We can't really bet on this in the United States, but you can bet on this however much you want across the pond. Diana is the favorite, 4-1. Then you've got Elizabeth, 11-1, Alexandria, 13, Matilda, 15, Alice, Emma, Grace, and Greta, 17, Catherine, 21, Amelia, 26, Daisy and Rose are 33-1. Do you have thoughts?
Well, I have a dizzy dappled dachshund at home named Daisy. I don't know if that's going to maybe put me in the running or out of the running mentally for that name. I mean, that's a wiener dog. That's not a royal baby. Diana, how do you go against that? Although I don't know, if you're going to have another royal baby, maybe you don't want to ask that child to carry the freight of the country's favorite princess namesake, right? So I'm going to go with Grace. Now there's a name, Grace. Huh? How about that? How about Bernadette? Bernadette's not on this list. My granddaughter's Bernadette. Where's Bernadette on this list?
Bernadette apparently off the board. I'm just imagining being in that trading room, and these guys are all screaming at each other over who should have the lowest odds to be the royal baby name. The connection between Markle and Diana is real. I think she's really in love with the family story. I think she's worn a lot of the same outfits. I also can't believe how much I know about this. But I could also see Meghan Markle, let's name her after a flower. How about Rose, 33-1?
All right, you like that. Big bet of the week, what did you notice this week?
$25,000 bet on Jordan Spieth to win the PGA Championship. Now, he hasn't teed off yet. It's the first round today. If Spieth wins the PGA Championship, that bettor will win $875,000.
But they had to put $25,000 down to win.
Uh-huh.
Do you like golf bets? Are those ever predictable? It just seems to me like there's so many good golfers and so many variables. I don't know enough about golf to ever have a confident bet there.
I can tell you this, the best golf bettors in the world, they don't bet golfers to win. They bet the head-to-head matchups. Like if it's King John against Sammy P, I like King John. They like to take one golfer and pin him against another golfer, not against everybody else. These bets on golfers winning tournaments, those are roulette bets. And anybody that tells you differently is full of it.
Hey, who won the Lakers game with Golden State last night?
Oh, you didn't stay up for it? It was I think it ended at like 12:30 in the morning. Lakers won. LeBron hit a 27-foot step-back three. Lakers won that game, I think, 103-100.
I turned it off in the third quarter. I thought Golden State's going to win this game, which is what I do to teams. It's so fun to watch Steph Curry. I'm sorry that he's not playing anymore, you know, for the rest of the season, because he's out now, right? Golden State's out?
No, they're the 8 seed now, and they have to play. The loser of Lakers-Warriors plays the following. Like the Warriors still have a chance to lock in the 8 seed. They just didn't clinch the 7. Lakers have the 7, and now the Warriors have a one-off for the 8 seed.
Sam Panionovich, let's talk next Thursday, my friend. It's always a pleasure.
It's a date. You got it. See ya.